I have my Bible open to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, if you have your Bibles, join me there. It's on the projection in front of you, if not. Hear the infallible, inerrant, inspired word of our living God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored, as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against evil. We'll end our reading there, and I do pray the Lord's blessing on the reading, the preaching, and the hearing of this word. As I mentioned to the children, prayer. It's one of the great aspects of the Christian faith. And when you stop to think about it for just a moment, that at any time, in any place, if you are in Jesus Christ as a redeemed individual, you can talk to the Almighty anytime. Let that sink in for a moment. The Creator of the universe, who with a word created everything here, is the most majestic King of all kings. And if you begin uttering a word towards him, he listens. Other faiths would say that is an incredible weakness of a God. How dare a God reduce himself at all to listening to anything of human beings? Well, in the Christian faith, we see that as an incredible strength. An incredible facet of our belief is that our God is that God who created with a word, but yet still cares enough and loves you enough to listen. When you begin uttering the most simplest or most grandiose prayers, with the presence of the Holy Spirit within us, as I've said, we can communicate with the Almighty. And the Almighty communicates with you with that text you have in your hand. Everything our Lord God desires to say to you has been said. And we hold it right here. Great communication. That's prayer. That's prayer. Now, added to this idea of this common or this ability to pray to the Almighty is when we enlist others to pray with us and for us. The voices of the saints gather together to pray for an individual or for a cause or for an issue. This is what Paul is doing here. He says simply, finally, as he's beginning to close his letter, finally, brothers, pray for us. Pray for us. In this request, we see that Paul is totally aware of his need, totally aware of God's ability, provision, and protection. Paul, who often prays for converts, now simply says, please pray for me. This should be an encouragement to us. Too many Christian or too much Christian work is attempted today by human plans, and far too much dependence on programs or fads or the dynamic personalities of individuals, rather than on a powerful dependence upon God in prayer. I guess one of the reasons is it just sounds too simple. It just sounds too simple. That I can just simply utter, Lord, help me. Lord, help me in this situation. And he's there. Here's a further important lesson from this. Here is a giant among giants. Here is the man who has written more of the New Testament than anyone else, the great Paul. Yet this great man of God humbly seeks the prayers of the believers, recognizing their own need and knowing of God's enablement. Paul and his team humbly sought prayer support for others. And when I read to you this account from Acts 18, Just stay where you are. I'll read it to you. When I read this account of Acts 18 and what Paul is going through at the time when he's asking for this prayer, you'll understand completely. Acts 18, 5 through 13, I think I'm going. When Silas Timothy arrived from Macedonia, Paul was occupied with the word. He's preaching, testifying to the Jews that the Christ was Jesus. And when they opposed and reviled him, he shook out his garments and said to them, "Your blood be on your heads. I am innocent. From now on, I will go and preach to the Gentiles." And he left there and went to the house of a man named Titius Justus, a worshiper of God. His house was next door to the synagogue. Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord together with his entire household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing Paul, believed and were baptized. And the Lord said to Paul in a vision, "Do not be afraid. Go out, go on speaking, and do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one will attack you to harm you. For I have many in this city who are my people." And he stayed a year and 6 months teaching them the word of God. But when Gallio, the proconsul of Achaia, the Jews made a united attack on Paul and brought him before the tribunal, saying, "This man is persuading people to worship God contrary to the law." Paul had been chased from town to town to town to town, and now he finds himself in Corinth, writing back to Thessalonica, encouraging them, but he's facing this kind of attack. He says, "Brothers, pray for us. Brothers, pray for us." Now back to our passage in 2 Thessalonians. The content of this prayer can be laid out in two specific requests. First of all, his first request is that the word of the Lord may speed ahead. The word of the Lord may speed ahead. This simply means, in the language that's used, to run. Remember, Paul's in Corinth. They had the Isthmus Games. I hope I'm saying that right. And so the athletes were abounding in Corinth. And so this idea of running was, it was a natural illustration for it. And so he says, let the word of God run and speed ahead. To go out among the people without interference. This is what he's asking to be prayed for. Please note that the focus here is on the message and not on Paul. Paul didn't say, "Pray for me, they're hurting my feelings." He said, "Pray for the message." Because, folks, the message is what transforms. It's not Paul. Paul's a great writer, inspired by the Holy Spirit. But it's the message. Again, we see a glimpse of Paul's confidence here. And this should be the confidence of all of us. Because we have the same relationship in God through Jesus Christ as Paul had. But you see, we get a glimpse of his confidence in God and his word. Not Paul's ability. Not a program. Not a fad. Remember, the Corinthian church made fun of Paul. He was a short, stocky little fellow with a crooked nose and red hair, who was not a good speaker. So we hear. But he didn't depend on his words. He was depending on God's words. The second aspect of this first request is that the message be honored. See, there is this idea of the message being given, the preaching going out and running out to its people. But then there has to also be the reception. See, a lot of things are going on here now in preaching. The Holy Spirit here is enabling me to preach, but the Holy Spirit is enabling you to hear and comprehend. And so Paul says that the message be honored, that the gospel message, and therefore God himself, be honored and be glorified. Sitting and listening to a sermon is not a passive idea. It's not something we do with passivity. It's something we do with great action. I'm listening. I want to hear it because I know what it is. I know it's the truth. And I depend and live on the truth, as we spoke of last week. The second part of Paul's prayer request is found in verse 2. He says that we may be, pray for brothers, pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. This is a very personal request for Paul. He sees the evil men in front of him. Folks, I know you have. I have. But you can see evil. You can see wickedness. And Paul is here trying to rationalize, trying to cause it testifying, preaching to these men. And can you imagine the scowl they have across their faces as he's doing this? If you say one more word, Paul. But he remembered the promise. God said, no one will hurt you. No one will hurt you. Satan and his evil men who follow him, they can deny the word. They can take away from the word. They can attack the word, try to add to it, take away all that. But their primary attacks are on the ones delivering the word. And we can see from our reading of Paul's work in Corinth that I read to you, these Jews, they made a united attack against this man. They brought him before the courts. They charged that he was trying to persuade people to worship God contrary to the law. And their attack was true, by the way. He was trying to convince them that this man Jesus was the Christ that they were denying. So Paul prayed that he, Silas, and Timothy would be delivered from these evil men. In view of Acts 18 that we read earlier, it is significant that though Paul had already received the Lord's promise that he would not be attacked, this fact did not cause Paul to leave praying with and for the Lord's protection. It did not cause him to be independent, saying, okay, the Lord made me a promise, let's go, and cease praying. You see, the ministries are undergirded by the prayers of the people. The ministries are undergirded by the prayers of the people. By the ministry here at New Sterling, this pulpit's ministry, our Sunday schools, our women's ministry, session, diaconate, all of that is undergirded and given a good foundation by the prayers of the people. And God has made us this promise too, I will be with you always. Well, okay, Lord, if we're predestined and you're with me always, I don't need to pray anymore. No. That's that vital link as I spoke of at the very beginning. To know that God Almighty cares about your prayer life. Knowing God's will and having his assurance should never lead one to a prayerless life or a spirit of independence. Go back and read the stories of the greats of the Christian faith. Incredible prayers. Martin Luther would spend hours each morning in his prayer closet. Hours. The strongest saints are dependent upon God through a fervent prayer life. And he was praying for protection from these evil men. Why did Paul call them evil? As I said, you can see evil. Why did he call them evil and wicked? Because they were opposed to the preached word. They were opposed to accepting Jesus as the Christ. And why? He said that because for not all of them have faith. Now, in the original language, there's a word, the, in front of faith. It's called a definite article. And when a definite article there, it's talking about a specific faith, not faith in general. And so in the original language, it would read like this. For not all have the faith. This points directly to faith in Jesus Christ, not faith in faith, of which we spoke of earlier. You can't have faith in faith. You have to have faith in something. And here Paul says they did not have the faith in Jesus Christ. To these Jews who opposed him, they did not accept Jesus as the Christ. They did not accept him as God, and they did not accept him as the Messiah. So Paul is trying to convince them. And then here, in order to encourage the Thessalonians, Paul makes an incredible contrast. These men were faithless. But look with me at verse 3. First five words. But the Lord is faithful. Great contrast. Faithless men. The opposition was faithless, evil men. And behind these men was the evil one himself. So Paul preached. Asked the brothers to pray for him. And behind these was the faithful Lord Jesus Christ himself. And Paul states that our Lord will establish you and guard you against the evil one. Again, definite article, the evil one, Satan. This fact of our Lord's faithfulness is one of our Lord's most remarkable attributes. He will establish his people and certainly guard against the evil one, but it cannot be overstated the importance and the impact of our Lord's faithfulness. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word, hesed. I like that word, hesed. Hesed. It's throughout the Old Testament. Other words to name the same characteristic, long-suffering, steadfast. For many, it's proved hard for translators to portray it rightly in context with the teaching of Scripture and the story and what's going on, because it's so multifaceted. God's steadfast love endures forever, hesed. His faithfulness endures forever, hesed. Beautiful idea of our Lord. You can also see it appear as kindness, mercy, goodness, loyalty, but probably the most appropriate one, if it's not steadfast love, it would be loyal love. Loyal love. Our Lord has a loyal love for his children. This attribute of faithfulness is a description of what God does. He has entered into a covenant with each of you who call on him as Lord. He bound himself through that covenant teaching we see with Abraham. He bound himself to you, the believer. And so he can do no other than to be faithful to you, because he created the covenant with whom? Himself. Abraham's the beneficiary. You're the beneficiary. He created the covenant with himself, so he can be nothing other than faithful, steadfast, loyal love. So, depending on our Lord's faithfulness, Paul's preaching was pointed, it was truthful, and it was strong. And the prayers of the Thessalonians were enabling, and all of this is accomplished by the presence of the Holy Spirit. And all were encouraged. Today we preach, we pray, and we depend upon the Lord's faithfulness. And we know it's there because I know the presence of the Holy Spirit is here. I know I'm a child of God. And so his faithfulness toward us can never change, because it's not dependent upon me. If anything, I would ruin it that quick. Because of his nature, his character, it can never change. Our God is a faithful God. He has made you promises. He has made you a part of his covenant. And so this idea of his faithfulness, which Paul depends on here, I depend on when I step in this pulpit. Our teachers depend on when they step in front of a class. When the ladies are mentoring with each other, they are depending on the God who said he would be there to be there, because he can do no other than to be there where his children are. He is faithful. He is faithful. He's made that promise to all of us. However, we cannot bask and fall back on our laurels and say, oh, ain't God good? Oh, well, yes, he is. But we continue, just as Paul is doing here, with a fervent prayer life, praying that we would have the word go out strongly from our pulpit, strongly from our teachers, strongly from our church. Folks, this is speaking to evangelism and missions. Yeah, it's speaking of preaching in this context, but this is talking about missions and evangelism. When Paul says, let the word run, it means open those doors and go. As we heard this morning, Justin and Hannah headed to Belize, going, taking the word. We'll be going back to Belize in about a year, going, taking the word. Our kids are going to Alabama this summer, going to take the word. So we pray that the word would run along, and we also pray for protection from that evil one. In the Lord's Prayer, when we pray, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. All right, again, in the original language, there's a definite article in front of evil, the. Deliver us from the evil, which leads us to whom? Satan. Deliver us from the evil one. So we pray for the word to go, but we pray for that protection. And we depend on God's faithfulness. In our obedience, we are to go out from this place and share the word of God. We are to pray that we, with great courage, would share the word even among those who oppose us. Even among those who oppose us. So, just like Paul had great courage and preached, let us have great courage and depend on that same faithfulness and preach and teach and mentor and live in that faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. Amen and amen. Please join me in the celebration hymnal, not 7.